Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman. You listen to Redskins Talk with JP Filling.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here. We have a very, very fun, packed episode of Redskins Talk Podcast coming your way. I have Rich Tandler here. Tandler, say what's up, man.
Hey, what's up, folks?
And we're very excited. We have a special guest joining us today. ESPN's John Keim is with us. Keim, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are doing well. That's the nicest salutation I think I've ever gotten from John Keim. You can tell we're on air. A lot of fun stuff to get to. We are going to talk John Allen. We're going to talk Kirk Cousins. We have an incredibly bizarre top three for Philadelphia that Tandler's come up with. And then, of course, we're going to set over-unders. All right, how's everybody doing? Tandler, how have you spent the couple days since I last saw you at FedEx Field after that wild Niners game?
Not much. Just doing a little, went to Redskins Park, chatted with you on the air a little bit on Redskins 100, and, you know, just went to Starbucks today.
Yeah, but you go to Starbucks every day.
No, actually, I've kind of cut that back a little bit, but today I did, and I might go tomorrow too. So maybe I'll go back into the everyday thing.
All right, and Keim, what about you? Tending to the cows and taking care of the farm?
I'm watching film.
Perfect.
It doesn't break down itself, JP. You know that.
That's a good point. It sure doesn't. I leave that to you, and then I just read what you write.
Well, between that, walking the dog, and getting ready for the NBA season, that'll keep me occupied right now.
All right. Jonathan Allen, we're going to rate this thing 1 to 10. If somehow our listeners don't know, Jonathan Allen suffered a Lisfranc injury against the 49ers. I saw him leave FedEx Field in a walking boot. The prognosis, I guess, is at least 3 weeks, could be 3 to 4 weeks while he deals with that injury. The next three games for the Redskins, it's a big stretch. They got the Eagles coming up on Monday Night Football, then the Cowboys at home, and then on the road in Seattle. All games you hate to lose John Allen for any game, let alone these three coming up. We're going to rate this thing on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most severe, the biggest deal an injury can be.
And Aaron Rodgers.
But sure. Good. All right. Aaron Rodgers' collarbone is at the end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is you know, I hurt my pinky, I guess. I think this is a legit 7. I think the Redskins' defense has been so much better. I think the up front defensive line, Matt Ioannidis has been so much better. I think Jonathan Allen's play has a lot to do with that. Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith have been so much, or at least Preston Smith has been so much better. I think Jonathan Allen has a lot to do with that. I think this is a really tough time for this injury as this Redskins defense was really starting to play well. I'm going 7. Keim, where do you rate this thing?
Yeah, I'll go with the 7 as well. And I think what's a little bit underrated, but I think one of the things that jumps out for me with Allen is the maturity of his game. And you don't see him out of position. You don't see, you see him like he's gotten sacked. One sack he got because in part because he stayed. He rushes to the right depth. He knows where he's supposed to be. They can line him up in multiple spots. Like, he's lined up wide outside the tackle. He's lined up over the guard. He's lined up, you know, over the tackle. He's lined up standing up behind the, you know, behind Ioannidis, who's lined up at the nose. So he's got a lot of versatility to the game, which is rare for a guy who's so young. And I think it's fun to watch him because, as you brought up, like Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan, well, look at their sacks, too. They're coming in part because the way it's supposed to work. The interior with Ioannidis and Allen collapses the pocket, and there's nowhere for the quarterback to step up. That's been a major change in this defense. And you don't see that as much when it's not Allen and Ioannidis in there. So I think you definitely lose that. And I think, you know, it'll be curious to see how Ioannidis does. I think Ioannidis has had a really good start. I don't think he's going to suffer a big drop-off at all. But I'll be curious to see the sack totals and all that, because if they can double-team Ioannidis a little bit more. Now, you get someone else one-on-one, but you're still doubling. Maybe they would double Ioannidis more, and now, you know, maybe he's not as effective, even though he's drawing the second defender. But I think it's a big loss just for that reason. And Anthony Lanier can come in, and he's done, you know, we'll see how he's progressed and all that, but there's no way he can be at a point to have the maturity in his game that Allen already does. I mean, that guy is strong, too. I mean, you see him driving guys back all the time.
And you see it in the first quarter, and you see it in the fourth quarter, what he's able to do. You know, it doesn't dip. It's really, really incredible to watch for a guy 5 games into his NFL career making that level of an impact.
Correct. And, you know, he can play in base or their nickel. And that's – you can't underestimate what that guy means, even though, you know, his numbers aren't flashy. And I even remember watching him during camp. It's like, he's not a flashy guy. He's just really good. And I think eventually those numbers will come for him. But even if they don't, he's really good. And he's consistent. And, I think one thing that Jim Tomsula did a good job of is reshaping the mindset of his unit. And to do that, you need to have guys who already have a certain mindset. Ziggy Hood. I think Jonathan Allen is one of those guys. I mean, he's coming from a massive program in Alabama. Did not come in here feeling entitled. Neither did Ryan Anderson from the same program, but doesn't come in there feeling entitled. Comes in here feeling he has to work and get better, and he's done that. And I think it's, you know, like I said, he's a rare package as a rookie, and it's easy to see why the Redskins were ecstatic that he fell to 17.
Indeed. All right, Tandler, 1 to 10, the John Allen injury.
Well, it depends on if you're talking about just the impact for those 3 or 4 games that he's out, and actually John and I were talking the other day in the media room. You know, 3 to 4 seems a little bit optimistic for us.
I think it's real optimistic. We'll find out.
But if it is just those 3 or 4 games, and you know, if you're talking about strictly in that stretch that he's out, I'd agree. It's like a 6 or 7, somewhere around in there. If you expand it out and say, okay, what's this loss going to do for their season, the remaining 11 games, like maybe you lower it. You know, are they, you know, if they're going to win the division with him, which is optimistic, I'm just throwing that out there, I don't think they're going to lose it because he misses 3 games. So, you know, I think on the season, maybe the impact is less, but I agree that, you know, that push up the middle has been critical. And, you know, the Redskins are going to hope that Ioannidis and whoever else gets more snaps, whether it's McGee, maybe see what Lanier can do in there, if he can get some pass rush. You know, that's why they've been keeping him around for, for a year and a half on the roster now without him playing much is, you know, that pass rush. So we'll see what Lanier can do. Maybe he can blunt the impact of it somewhat.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And it's a good point. Like, the NFL is so interesting because you got to try to remind yourself that it's a marathon. But because of the week-to-week nature and what we do and being at practice every day, each game builds up into almost this mini season where missing one game seems like such a huge deal. And it's a good perspective, Tandler, to say, hey, you know, if it's only 3 games out of 16, it's not that big of a deal. We'll see if it's only 3 or 4 games, too. All right.
Don't forget, one game would have made a difference to their season last year.
Totally, yeah.
You know, it was one or loss.
Right.
So, you know, I think – but it's also – I think the other factor in there, guys, is, too – If he's out plus Josh Norman, plus Bashaud Breeland, And while they have good corner depth, you know, but you're losing possibly three key players to your defense going, you know, for whether it's for however many games it may only be for this week when you lose all three. But that's where that, you know, the other part of it is that it's a hard time to lose a quality player like him.
I totally agree with that. Here's what I think, though. Quick yes or no from both of you. I think one or the other of Breland or Norman plays Monday night. Taylor, one or the other playing Monday night?
Yes.
Time?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'll say this, so everybody knows, we're recording
I don't feel like a great deal of conviction saying that, but I'll just say that.
Sure. Well, and we're recording this Tuesday night, so we're not going to know for sure until we start seeing who's on the practice field. Thursday is going to be our earliest guess. So this is really just speculative. All right, let's move on, though. Friends of ours, the Associated Press had a headline after the Niners game that said Kirk Cousins struggled against the 49ers as the Redskins almost let a win slip away. I can dig up the exact headline, but the important part was that the suggestion was Kirk Cousins struggled in that game. I was there. The three of us were sitting next to each other. I don't think Kirk Cousins played well, but I don't think he struggled either. I think he was fine. He wasn't good. He certainly wasn't great, but he was okay. You guys tell me what you think. Taylor, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm pulling up a number here. Now, you know, numbers aren't everything, and I think he did miss just about almost every deep throw he had, except for that one to Vernon Davis, which wasn't that deep. It was down the seam, and of course, Vernon did most of it with his feet. Okay, but real quick, I don't want to bog down in numbers here. Okay, he completed 67% of his passes, 330 yards, 8.9 per attempt, and two touchdowns.
And a pick.
Okay, taking that.
And a pick.
And yeah, right, and a pick. Okay, but you take 67% completion rate or better, 330 yards or better, 8.9 per attempt or better, two touchdowns or better. Since 1990, Redskins quarterback have done that four times, and Cousins has done three of them.
Wow.
The other one was Brad Johnson in 1999. So that's a pretty point is that's a pretty decent stat line. You know, add in a fourth quarter rally. You know, they came in, it was tied up going into the fourth quarter. Redskins drove, got a field goal and a touchdown. He scored the touchdown on the 7-yard read option. I mean, I don't know how you want, you know, maybe except for getting that throw to Pryor, you know, to land to be inside a little more instead of landing out of bounds. I don't know how much more you really can expect a quarterback to do.
So you don't think struggled is fair either, I'm guessing.
I do not think struggled. Yes, make it clear, I do not think struggled is a good descriptor there.
All right. Mr. Cakes?
No, I don't think he struggled. I thought, and this is when I had to write my story, or the analysis, before I went down to, you know how this works. You write most of what you're doing before you even go to the locker room, so you
right.
have an instant analysis. And at that point, it's like, when they, you know, and I didn't use the word efficient, but that's essentially what I was saying, that, you know, when they needed him, he came through. And there was he missed on some throws, but when they needed him, he came through, and that Jay Gruden used the word efficient, and I would completely agree with that. And so I think, you know, to me, struggled would have been, you know, one touchdown, two interceptions, but he leads the game-winning drive. I think he had a game where it's like, yeah, he missed some, but I think, like, the first touchdown to Josh Doctson does a really nice job looking off or going through his progression, for example. You know, he has Jordan Reed over here, he has Chris Thompson way to the right. Jordan Reed, you know, between two defenders, a safety over the top, looks off that, works back to Doctson, connects on a nice throw. There were multiple times in that game where I saw something like that. And, you know, other times where he's leading guys into yards after the catch. So I thought, like, there were definitely some good. I wouldn't say he played a great game. And I know, like, that the Niners' pass defense, the secondary, isn't very good. And there were times where, like, one player told me, like, it was like 7-on-7, okay, because just they knew that pass defense wasn't very good. He was 7 of 11 on third down. 6 of them resulted in first downs. That, to me, is a big key in the game because it allows them to stick with a run game that was kind of up and down. So if you're converting third and longs, which they were, you know, that's going to be partly on him. I also thought, though, that, like, you know, Chris Thompson is a
fantastic yeah
back. And they also had some play design that I thought really helped as well. And on some screens, using some play action, some of the end arounds to free up the screen, the 20-yard screen to Thompson. You have guys all flowing one way, they're hitting them back another. So he executed those well. But I wouldn't say he played great. I think Jay Gruden had it right with efficient. And when they needed him most, he led two scoring drives. And that's what you want your guy to do. That's been, you know, in the past, he's had some really good games, and he hasn't led those late scoring drives. So how do you rate those?
Right.
So I think efficient was the right word.
Yeah, that's been the knock is, you know, late games, playoff games, winning in games. He hasn't delivered late, so maybe folks should be happy with that late delivery. And I would say he struggled on the deep ball. He sailed a number of deep balls, but he didn't struggle for the game. All right.
No.
So that's that. And I think you got to remember sometimes with headlines that most of the time reporters aren't writing headlines, and headlines are made to grab your attention. So try to keep that in mind.
And it's funny because, like, I was even talking to Steve Wino, who wrote the article, and his thing was, and we were talking about the other day, he's like, you know, you kind of saw the good and the bad and all of Kirk Cousins in that one game.
And so the ugly, the back-to-back deep throws where one should have been picked and the next one was, were bad.
Yeah, and listen, that for the interception, they're fortunate. And I know, like, you can, okay, it's like a 49-yard punt, and then you watch it again, it's like, well, if it's not out of bounds or Vernon Davis isn't there or if he gets by Vernon Davis, it's suddenly a 20-yard punt because
right.
the guy had a lot of room to run.
Right.
You don't want to throw interceptions. It
no.
wasn't a great throw.
Yeah.
And the other one, the one to Jordan Reed, I almost, you know, and I was trying to watch this thing, like, how did he miss him by that much? And I almost wonder if he expected Jordan to keep going down the seam and Jordan starts to turn in a little bit. And I don't know. You're trying to get inside someone's head, and I don't know because when you're trying to gauge, like, why was it so much overthrown? And, you know, so there were definitely some bad balls. I did think the line really helped him. They gave him a lot of time to go through those progressions. I think their protection has been really good since the opener.
Agreed. And we haven't mentioned him yet, but Trent Williams has just been incredible playing through that knee injury. All right. Time for our top three.
In fairness, I think Cam is playing through zone AC pain, too. So
yeah, well, I got to do it for the team.
Yeah. JP, I don't know what this means, JP, but he told me his back hurts from carrying you. I don't know what it means.
Always. So here's my reward for Rich Tandler. We've done our top three. Going to Kansas City, we rated barbecue. Against San Francisco, we rated San Francisco-based movies. I picked both of those. Tandler got to pick our top three this week against Philadelphia. And I have nothing for this topic. I'm going to pretty much mail it in. I'm going to be honest with you. So I'm going to let Tandler go first. Rich, so obviously, if anybody doesn't know this, the Constitution was signed and ratified, I guess, in the city of Philadelphia. Tandler wants to rank the top three founding fathers. We're going to be pretty quick on this because I fear we're going to lose a ton of listeners. So, Tandler, who are your top three founding fathers?
Okay, got to go with three. George Washington, father of the country, was the general in the war, the Revolutionary War, headed all that. Second, John Hancock. He's got the big signature down there at the bottom, of course. He's known for that. But he was a guy, I mean, he could have just sat things out. He would have been perfectly fine living the rest of his life under British rule. He was a wealthy man in trade, all that kind of stuff. He was doing fine, but he risked everything for the cause of the revolution. And then number one, Virginian, of course.
Of course, Thomas Jefferson.
He was sort of the, you know, he wrote the Declaration of Independence. He was the brains of the operation there, if you will.
All right, Kime, I gave you very little heads up on this top three list, so if you got something, fire away.
Well, I think the hard part here for us, JP, is that we didn't know these guys like Rich does. So, I think, you know, and that, I don't know if that's why he's wearing those wigs every Wednesday out there or not. But
powdered wig Wednesday.
Yeah, I do keep getting powder on JP sitting next to him. I'm sorry about that.
The wooden teeth have to go, though.
It's ivory, damn it.
I'll go real quick. I'll just go, I guess, Washington, but I'm going John Adams too. I admire that guy. I think, you know, what he's meant for the country, his relationship with Thomas Jefferson, and how I think how prescient he was on certain issues that would develop in this country. But I think, like, you know, he to me is someone who defended the Constitution even when it was unpopular, and I give him credit for that. And then Thomas Jefferson,
and he just real quick, he kind of handled the Boston end of things up
there. That's exactly what,
the Tea Party and Bunker
exactly
Hill and all that.
Right, and that's you know, that's some of the stuff I'm talking about too with him. And you know, and then Thomas Jefferson, because he's a brilliant man, and you know, obviously he had his flaws, but he's a brilliant man.
All right, those are good serious lists. Here comes a much less serious list. John Hancock, because it allowed for the Herbie Hancock joke in Tommy Boy from Chris Farley.
Okay.
James Madison is both very short and very fat, and I've had a lot of fun in my college days visiting Harrisonburg and all my friends that went to JMU. So James Madison makes my list. Benjamin Franklin, how does nobody mention that guy? He's the man.
He was fourth for me. I was going back and forth.
I'm literally on biography.com/founding fathers going through this. Here's a way more important question. Could the founding fathers take Bama?
In the classroom, yes. On the field, I'm not so sure. Like I said, they weren't necessarily the best conditioned founding fathers in the world.
They're also dead.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think that might be a
recruiting violation. all right. Here's what we're all here for and what the listeners are here for. Besides that little bit of history kind of lesson, I guess. Time to set over-unders. Kaim, I think you're kind of familiar with what we do. Each week we set an over-under for Kirk Cousins' passing yards. We then do one around the run game. This week we are doing Chris Thompson total yards. So because of Thompson's impact on the game, both through the air and on the ground, we're going to do total yards for him. Our third is a wild card that listeners submit, and we're not picking the over or under. We're just setting the total. We then pick them on Friday. Tandler has done the dirty work as far as our research to set these things. So, Tandler, tell us about what we're looking for Kirk Cousins.
Okay, real quick, what I did was it took us average yards per game, which is 266. And then I looked at the Eagles. They give up 273 yards passing per game, which is 20% higher than the league average, which is 226. So I added 20% onto Cousins' average per game and came up with 322 yards.
Whoa, that's high.
That does seem high.
Now, were you talking about the total or Rick on that one?
The what?
That joke went over your head.
Okay.
That's too high, dude.
That's a high.
I know, but it's a place to start. It's, like I said, I told you. I said it might seem high, but you know the Eagles. The fact is, the Eagles do give up a lot more passing yards than the league average. It might be garbage time yards. You know, it might be for whatever reason they give up more than the league average passing, and that needs to be taken into account.
All right, let me say this. Kaim, the last 2 weeks we've had Kirk right around 290. I think it was 287 1 week, 292. I lean towards around that number. John, what do you think?
I'm going in that 280 because I think a lot of it, I'll go in the 280 to 290 range. I'll be in there just because he's had some success against them. The one thing I look at in this game, too, the Eagles have been really good at stopping the run. And the Redskins have done a good job sticking with the run. But I wonder, the one game where they really didn't was against the Eagles. Because against the Eagles in the past, you could get kind of those one-yard games, no yards, 1 yard, 2 yards, and then 8, 6, 7. They weren't getting those 8, 6, 7s enough. They weren't getting anything like that. And so they kind of got away from it. So I think they may end up having to throw more in this game than what they've been doing the last four games. I think they've done a good job staying committed, but largely because they're converting on third downs. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to throw a little bit more to kind of loosen things up to help the run a little bit later.
I'm with you. Tandler, I'm thinking 285. What say you?
That seems low to me.
I'll go to 290.
I think the 322 is too high for an over under line. Okay, 290.
290.
Sounds good.
Set. All right, give me the skinny on Chris Thompson total yards.
Okay, he averages 103 a game. Eagles total yards rushing and passing give up 21.5% more than the league average. That would have Thompson at 125 combined yards.
That almost sounds right for the way he's been playing. John, go ahead.
Now he didn't have a great game against them the first time, and I think the one thing with the passing game against the Eagles, and we saw it on the first play, which was not tracked well.
Yeah.
But the deep ball is usually a bigger factor for these guys against Eagles than anything else. So I might go a little bit lower than that just for that reason. But I think it's a weapon for them.
It's got to be at least like 110, right? Like 112.
I'll go, especially the base on the way he's been playing. But, you know, against the Chiefs, they were able to take him out of it as well. But, you know, different style of defense. So in that 100 to 110 range, I would start with it on this one just because, you know, knowing how well they have stopped the run. And then knowing that, you know, their style of defense and their coverage allows for some shots.
Yep. Tandler, I'm thinking 110. What say you?
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. I'll go done.
110 total.
110 total combined rushing receiving.
All right, and this is our wild card submission. We got a lot of good ones. I think we're going to go with one that we got from at Larkan's dad, Larkan and Caden's dad on Twitter. Tandler, I think we both like this one. We got a bunch of good submissions. We got one from Matt at Effect, at DC Barno sent us a good one, at Big John 1906, at Super Gage. We got a lot of good ones, and we appreciate them, folks. But Tandler, go ahead, and you liked this one, so we're gonna. This is your podcast. You get to pick founding fathers. You get to pick the wild card.
Yeah, it was total. Let's see. Yeah, points scored in the second half
because the Skins have been struggling to score in the second half of games.
They have 40-0 second half points this year. And you divide that by the five games, and that is very simple to figure out. 8 has been their average second half points per game. Which
and the listener's suggestion was 9.5 second half points, I believe.
Ooh.
Is that too high?
I think it is.
Here's my thing. If the Skins are going to win this thing, they're going to have to score in the second half.
Okay, well, that can be part of the calculation of the over-under.
Maybe we set it at, they've been averaging 8. We think they got to score in the second half. Maybe we assume they have to score more than their average at 8.5. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I think that's a hard one.
Yeah, it is hard. You like 8.5? You think that's fair?
They had 3 against the Eagles the first time.
Yeah, and I think like in the other games they've gone above that number. So like last week it was 9 against the Raiders. It was 13 against the Chiefs. It was 10. So it's not like that, you know. So I'd go a little bit based on what their more recent
Rams. I think the Rams was 7.
With 7. So the last 3 weeks, it's been better.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, take that into account as well. The trend is, so by pointing up, we're not talking about a lot. Right.
Should we make it 7.5 and then say they have to at least get to their average?
Now, that seems low. I think that seems like too easy an overcall.
Okay. So Tandler, what do you think then? Are you liking it at 8.5?
Let's do that. I think 9.5.
I think 9.5 is a good number.
Okay.
Yeah.
So good job from the listener.
At first glance, yeah. But the more I think about it, I think 9.5 will make it. You know, will make it a good now, as it should be.
Yeah, and I think that you take into account too that they are playing a good team on the road, so you know the temptation to take the under would probably be strong.
Right.
That's true.
Exactly.
Regardless, it's a good suggestion from Lorcan's dad. So credit to credit to you. All right, we're going to go with the 9.5 then, and that's set.
Okay.
All right.
Locked it in.
All right, we will make our picks on Friday. Folks, the reviews have been awesome. Thank you so much for putting those in. We need a lot more. Taylor, what else do we need people to do?
Subscribe.
It looks like we're going to blow way through our goal for Halloween, so I'm going to set a new goal probably next week. John, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, as always, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.